verse 26. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south way, the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to worship, or come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Amen. Brother Johnny, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer at this time? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, maybe a familiar passage, and I don't know if you remember my points from 15 years ago, those that were here or in the other building, but anyhow, there's been a few times I can remember. I mean, I'm a preacher, you know, but hearing other preachers preach, there's a few times I can remember what I heard somebody preach, and there's a few times that... That I've come across a few people that remember what I preached. So it's good that it stays there somewhere along the line. I remember one church I went to in Ohio, in Lebanon, Ohio, where the track league's at, Fellowship Baptist Church. And I'll never forget, I preached a message about the scent of water. The scent of water. And I guess it was just an unusual message out of the book of Job. It's only found one place in the Bible. And every time I came, and sometimes that people just walk up to me and say, the scent of water. I said, yeah, that's my name. I got to hearing that all the time. But the title for the message this morning, I'll go ahead and give you the title. Maybe you remember it. How can I? How can I? That's what he said right here in the Scriptures, isn't it? I mean, the Bible tells us that God touched the heart of Philip, that angel of the Lord spake unto him. Yeah, thank God for God's direction and God's leadership. It's like I've said before, I don't believe that the devil's going to tell you to talk to somebody about Jesus. You know, the devil's not going to encourage you to be a witness for Christ. It's going to be the Lord that's going to encourage you to do that. It's going to be the Lord that's going to touch your heart about that witness. And what a wonderful witness that Philip got to have to this fellow. In fact, the background, the story is that he was in a revival before that. Amen. Now, a lot of preachers wouldn't want to do that, would they? Amen. As in the middle of a revival and things is going good up there in Samaria, he said, hey, God's going to move him somewhere else. He said, wait a minute, Lord. Man, I'm doing good over here at this revival, man. This thing's going good. Folks are singing. Folks are getting saved. They're paying me good. I'm doing good over here. I don't want to go nowhere else. No, God led him somewhere else. God led him out in the desert, praise God. He left a revival meeting, but he went out in the desert to preach to one man. Amen. To talk to one man. He wasn't even married yet. Amen. Ain't that something? Just standing around looking around the desert there. For somebody to talk to, somebody to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with. And praise God, he was already headed in the right direction. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? And they say it's probably, this is about 50 miles southwest of Jerusalem, the area of the Gaza Desert that he's in here. But the Ethiopia was a country, of course, below Egypt. And so this eunuch was no doubt dedicated, and no doubt somebody that had great authority there under Candace is not a name. Actually, it's like a title, like the Pharaoh of Egypt. And so this is the title for that for the queen there in Ethiopia in those days. And so he had great authority under her. He's a trustworthy person. He was a religious person. He went all the way up from Ethiopia, traveled through Egypt, traveled through the desert, traveled all the way up there to Jerusalem. and begin to worship. And begin, but you know what? He worshiped, he knew not what he worshiped. Amen. He didn't know the Lord yet. He was religious, but he was lost. You know, religion's not what's going to save you. It's Jesus Christ that's going to save you. It's not the name tag on the door that's going to save you, but it's what thus saith the Word of God. It's what the Bible says. We ought to stay in the Word of God. Amen. That's where we get what we need. In fact, and that's the reason he was headed in the right direction. Because here he was just going along, minding his own business in that chariot. And here he is, and he's reading from the Word of God. Had to have money and influence and everything to get a copy, probably, of the scroll. And he's got that scroll out reading Isaiah chapter 53. He's reading the Word of God. And no doubt God's already touching his heart. And God's already planting some seeds because he says that his Word will not return unto him void. That's really such a blessing. I met the brother that was here last week. When the Word of God's out there, it doesn't return in void. Whether it's on a car, or whether it's in a track, or whether it's at a telephone booth, or whether it's left somewhere else, or whether it's somebody reading a Bible, reading a Gideon Bible over in the hospital or something. The Word of God doesn't return unto the Lord void. It'll get the job done. So here he is riding along in the chariot. He's reading Isaiah 53. And the Bible tells us that Philip is brought to him here. The Holy Spirit of God leads him in this direction. The Bible says that the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. I can imagine he's probably out there in the middle of the desert looking around. What am I supposed to do here? Is there a tent I'm supposed to put up here and start preaching? What's going on? Why am I out here in the middle? And then the Lord, he sees a little chariot coming and a little entourage of folks are coming. And the Lord says, go right over there. That's where you need to go. So he headed over there to this Ethiopian, this eunuch that's here opening up the Bible. He's reading it, and the Scripture says, beginning of verse 29, he said he was that the Spirit said, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Before he got there, he heard what he was reading. He must have been reading it out loud. He may have been reading it to other folks. I don't know, but the Bible tells us that he asked the question, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He said, how can I, except somebody should guide me? In fact, if you want to look or allow me to read a couple verses that he was reading, actually, directly from Isaiah 53, he was reading verse 7 and 8. He says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off from out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He began reading. If he started first of the chapter, it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Blessed passage of Scripture. I remember Miss Davis saying many times, what's her favorite passage of Scripture? Isaiah, her favorite chapter in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53. Because it ain't a blessing that anybody can sit there and read that. And they're probably, if they read it with all honesty, they're probably going to have some questions about who Isaiah is talking about in that chapter right there. That's going to arise because that's what happened to him. 2,000 years ago, out in the middle of the desert, south of Jerusalem, 50 miles southwest of Jerusalem, headed back to Ethiopia, he was reading this passage of Scripture 2,000 years ago. God begins to tug at his heart. The seeds are planted there, but he really doesn't understand. He really doesn't get it. He says, how can I? Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, and this is a passage of Scripture God dealt with my heart about accepting the call to preach from the Word of God. It says, for after then in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. Now, he doesn't say foolish preachers. There's a lot of them out there, but and there's a lot that's doing right, and folks are calling them foolish. But he said, by the foolishness of preaching, that's really what the Scripture's talking about. Some laugh and scorn at it and sneer at it, and some say it's old-timey and old-fogey, and some people push it aside. But I tell you what, it's what God has used, and it's what God will use in the days to come to save souls. And so here's a man of God that's brought to this Ethiopian. Here's a man of God that's brought to this fella sitting there reading the Bible. And he said, how can I? How can I? except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he'd come up and sit with him. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. You know what? Philip knew his right on time. He knew his right in the place where he needed to be at that point in time, because he says, hey, come on up here and sit with me. I'm reading the Bible. And he didn't know who he was. He didn't know him, as the old saying is. He didn't know him from Adam, but he brought him up in there in the chariot with him. And he's sitting down there reading the Bible together, and they're discussing the Word of God. He asked the question, how can I? First of all, think about how can I hear? How can I hear? Look at verse 32 and 33. It says, the place of the Scripture which he read was this. You know how you can hear? Open the Word of God. Amen. Amen. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humility, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. How can I hear? We're going to hear from what thus saith the Word of God. You know what begins right there? The work of the Scripture begins. Amen. And that question, how can I hear? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if we shall confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth, and shalt believe in our heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How plain is it there in the Word of God? He said, what saith it? The Word is even nigh thee, the Word of faith which we preach. Praise God, the Word was nigh unto that old eunuch up there, wasn't he? The Word of God was nigh to that Ethiopian as he was sitting in that chariot. He had it right there in his lap. He had it right there in the Word of God, clear and plain as it could be. But he needed somebody to help him, praise God. He needed somebody to guide him. That's where mission work comes in. Hey, here's a feller. In fact, this is a wonderful picture about missions, because they say, tradition tells us that they had a great revival out of this one man that got saved. This one man took the gospel to Africa. As far as we know, this is the first time the gospel went to Africa. He took the message of the gospel to Africa, and it was a great revival that began and lasted for a couple hundred years in those countries there, especially in northern Africa. What a blessing. How can I hear? Hey, this work of the Scriptures begins. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. You know, we get discouraged sometimes when we talk to somebody about the Lord, and we give them the Scriptures, and they say, and somebody brought this question up a couple of weeks ago, you know, what if they say, oh, I don't believe that Bible. I don't believe the Word of God. Well, until they hear, they're not going to get saved. Until they hear what the Word of God has to say. How can I hear? Well, he was right in the right place to hear, because he had a copy of God's Word open. He was right there in the Bible. He was right there in the Word of God. How can I hear? The work of the Scriptures begins. I mean, it says faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to hear because of God's Word. Amen. We've given testimony. Bob gave his testimony a couple weeks ago, a month ago or so, and he said he heard the message. He didn't see the preacher. He didn't see the Bible. I don't know if he had a Bible at that time, but he heard somebody preaching from the Word of God. Amen. He heard the message. And all of you can say the same thing with different experiences that you've had. Somebody's gave you a tract. Somebody's come to your home and talked to you about the Lord. You've been in a church service somewhere, and somebody's been preaching from the Word of God. Amen. That's how we're going to hear. That's how we're going to hear, because somebody is sent out to preach the message of the gospel. Somebody's sent out from a Bible-believing church, and they're preaching the Word of God. Amen. It goes out through all of the world, and says, in fact, he says, has not their sound went into all the earth? The word there, earth, is the inhabited earth. It means, you know, the people. It's not talking about the planet or the trees or anything like that. But it's talking about the people and individuals heard the Word of God. I believe that the gospel spread across the world in every region of the world during right after the days of Christ. I believe the gospel was spread. In fact, a lot of things fell right into place in that. The great Roman Empire was set up. And they already, you've heard the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. That's because the first real road system that was ever built in the history of the world was by the Roman Empire, and they wanted people to be able to get from one town to another quickly and get their chariots across and everything. They didn't know they was paving that as a highway of the gospel. Amen. They didn't know they was paving that highway and fixing it all up that Paul could go across from country to country and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. They didn't know that. That was in the hands of God for the Word of God to be put forth. How can I hear? God puts a lot of things in place where we can hear if we'll only listen. How can I hear? Second of all, let me say, how can I understand? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 6 and verse 9, Isaiah had this problem or this thought as the Lord began to bring it to him. He said, "Go to this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and convert and be healed." They needed to understand with their heart. They needed to listen with their ears. It needed to get into their soul and their being for the Holy Ghost of God to say, "Yes, that's right. That's what you need." Amen. This fella, he had the Word of God. But let me say, not only can I hear, but can I understand? This is where the work of the Holy Spirit begins. Amen. I can talk to folks till I'm blue in the face and give them the gospel plan of salvation. But if they don't understand, if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't draw them to salvation, they're not going to get saved. The Holy Spirit of God has to deal with that heart. The Bible says, "No man cometh to the Father except the Spirit draw him." And we need to be busy telling folks about the Lord. We need to be busy giving the plan of salvation. But the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's going to make it click one of these days. It's going to make a light come on in their heart. And it might be right then when you're talking to them. I don't know. It might have already clicked before you got there. Amen. Yeah. I think something's already working on this fella before Philip got there. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah.
But he still needed a little bit of help, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
And this guy's coming up there and understands what they'll read. How can I? How can I understand? How can I hear? I'm already hearing some of it, but I need to hear some more. I already hear it, but I like what I'm hearing. God's dealing with my heart about this thing. The work of the Holy Spirit began in his heart, and he says, "How can I understand what I'm reading?" That's such a blessing. You know, there's other books that you can read, and you can exhaust a library of books and things, but I tell you what, there's something precious about this book right here. There's something precious about the Word of God. And only the Holy Spirit of God is the one that can be our teacher. Only the Holy Spirit of God is the one that can be the real teacher that's going to show us, hey, what that preacher's saying is right. And we may not even have to say it on the outside. But the Holy Spirit on the inside says, amen. 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 You know what amen means? It means let it be so. Let it be true. The Holy Spirit's saying, that's right. You know that's right. Lord God, you know that's right. And the Holy Spirit pricks at our heart again. That's what was going on with Paul before he got saved. He was called Saul of Tarsus then. And the Bible says, how is it you are kicking against the pricks? He said, how long will you kick against the pricks? You see, God was pricking at his heart. God was dealing with his heart. I believe it started probably when he seen old Stephen martyred. It started when old Stephen was looking up into heaven. Hey, man, he had a smile about him. They were stoning him and everything, but he was looking up to glory. There was just something different about that man. There was something different about his testimony. And Paul seen that, and he never got away from that. God was a pricking at his heart. And then he got saved, praise God, on the Damascus Road and became a great preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, wrote 13, 14 books of the New Testament, if you count Hebrews, and preached the gospel to the known world and was an apostle to the Gentiles, but he preached to the Jew and the Gentiles and evangelized, began the evangelism of the known world at that time. What a blessing. Why? Because somebody understood the work of the Holy Spirit of God began in somebody's heart. That's why we preach Jesus, because that's who's going to introduce them. Amen. That's who they're going to get introduced to by the Holy Spirit. They're going to get introduced to Jesus. So we preach Jesus and Him crucified. For how many ever years that old C.H. Spurgeon preached, and he still has more copies of his sermon available than any by the Chamber preached, and he preached many sermons in the Park Street pulpit. And then they built the great Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he preached many sermons there. But for many years, he held on this one verse of Scripture. He said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." And also another verse there in Corinthians, which says, "We preach Christ and Him crucified." Amen. Amen. He said, hey, I believe they can understand Jesus. They can relate to Jesus Christ, because that's how they have to do to be saved. The Bible said, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What a blessing that the Holy Spirit of God begins to introduce us to Jesus. Amen. Thirdly, let me say, how can I believe? That's what we need to do. After we hear, after we begin to understand, then it's up to us whether we're going to accept or reject. It's up to us whether we're going to accept the Lord or reject Him. He said, how can I believe? Look at verse 36. The Bible tells us in, let me give you verse 34 and 35. I didn't read that. I got ahead of myself. But it said, "The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man?" Here's how he's beginning to understand. And the Holy Spirit's touching his heart. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And then look at verse 36. "And they went on their way, and they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest," here's the key, "if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized." Ain't that a blessing? How can I believe? Well, he's heard the gospel. He's beginning to understand now. The Holy Spirit of God's pricking his heart. But here's where the work of salvation begins. Praise God. We can know that we know that we know that we're saved by the grace of God. We can know that our name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can know whether we even understand the terminology, like the brother preached last Sunday night. We might not even understand the terminology about being saved. But if God has saved us, old things pass away. All things become new in Christ Jesus. Think about this. He said, now listen, and evidently he had already talked to him about following Christ and identifying with Christ and believer's baptism. He'd already talked to him about some things, and he said, well, you know, since I've already got saved, we can stop right here and go and get baptized, can't we? And Philip said, oh yeah, praise God, let's do it. Amen. He said, I'm a Baptist preacher, let's get with it, amen. Amen. But he said, hey, if thou believest with all thy heart, don't miss that, right there's the key. He's not saying baptism is going to save him. He's saying if you believe with all your heart, if you're saved, the baptism is just a picture of what Christ has already done for you. He's already done that. And you're identifying with Christ, and you're saying to the world, I'm going to live for Christ and I'm going to serve Christ. And that's what you need to do. That's what one of the things you need to do after that you're saved. But praise be to God. He is saying in this Scripture, how can I believe? How can I trust Him? And so He shows it. Hey, if you believe with all your heart, praise God. I mean, that's the Great Commission right there. Mark 16:15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, go. Bible says in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. I mean, he's saying here, praise God, we need to go. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. We need to go forth and be a witness for Christ. The Word of God needs to be preached. How can I believe? I think about what the Scripture says there in Acts 16:30, and we find somebody that got touched with the convicting power of God. They probably heard them old jailers there in Acts chapter 16, that old jailer probably heard the Word of God. Amen. Don't you reckon? I mean, somebody starts up at midnight, that old jailer's saying, what in the world's going on in there? And they were having a meeting at midnight. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Praise God. I wonder how many show up we'd have a meeting at midnight. We've been around here to midnight on New Year's Eve service. But you know, they had a meeting in jail at midnight. Praise God. So they probably heard the Word of God. They probably began to understand a little bit what was going on. But that Philippian jailer said, I don't know what to do. Lord God, God started shaking the place. Hallelujah. I heard one preacher preach a message, whole lot of shaking going on. God began to move. And He shook the place so much that the jail doors come open. The stocks fell off of them. And all these prisoners just walking around. What's going on here? Praise God. Hallelujah. Sing another verse. Boys, that was good. Amen. Hey, was just walking around and praising God. The jailer thought, oh Lord, I'm gonna be killed. I'm not just losing my job. I'm going to be killed. This whole crowd's going to leave. I'm going to be killed. And he reaches down and pulls his sword. And he's fixing to kill himself. But Paul and Silas come up to him and said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. He said, do what? What's wrong with y'all? Hey, y'all loose. Why ain't y'all running? No, we got something inside of our heart and our soul. We got something to shout about and praise God about. They're going to go ahead and have a meeting outside the jail, I reckon. I don't know. But the Bible tells us that they brought a light and come down to see him. He called for a light and sprang in. Praise God. Trembling, he jumped in there. What's going on? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. The Bible says that Paul and Silas said it. Said they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Amen. Man, just don't get no better than that. Don't get no simpler and plainer than that. What they needed is to ask that question. We need to answer that question. How can I believe? And then not only that, and I've already touched on this a little bit too, but how can I preach? How can I preach? That's where the work of service begins. How can I preach? And I tell you, don't get afraid of that word preach. I know that you say, well, the preacher's up there preaching. All right, amen. And preaching. And but you know, I've said before, I believe it's about 116, 114 times in the New Testament you'll find the word preach in some form or another. But only six of those times is it talking about a preacher standing behind the pulpit preaching. Amen. Most of the time, it's talking about, and it's a simple word where we get the word evangelism, and it just means tell the good news. Amen. You know what? All of us can do that. Yeah. Praise God. I'll tell you what, you can hear enough bad news. Oh, yeah. You can hear enough bad news in the papers and everything. I thought, under God, how many killings has gone on? Some of them small, some of them larger and everything, but how many killings have gone on this past week? One in Germany, one in Alabama. I heard about one in Florida this morning, and just all over. You can hear a lot of bad news. But boys, I'll tell you, we got some good news to tell right here. We got some good news to tell. How can I preach? How can I tell it? Well, you just get in a good Bible-believing church, and you witness to folks. You tell them about Jesus. You pass out tracts, put some scriptures on your car, and support missions, and there'll be folks all around the world that are getting saved by the grace of God for what you're doing. You've got just a little bit of part in it. It might not be much. Amen. But I tell you what a blessing one of these days to hear about and meet some of those folks. We don't ever even have to go to Honduras, but meet some of those folks that Brother Alan Jackson's led to the Lord. Meet some of those folks that Brother Kip Rayfield's led to the Lord down there in Brazil. Meet some of the folks that Brother Potter led to the Lord over in Israel, and God's using him again over in Wyoming. Meet some of the folks that you can just go right down the line. The Blaylocks are going to be headed out there to little bitty island, Beckway. Never heard of it, but a little island named Beckway in the Caribbean Islands. They're going to be there preaching the Word of God. No doubt they're going to see some souls saved by the grace of God. And they've got that brother over there in the Philippines, and God's a blessing him. Went back home. Can you imagine going back to your house and they told you that the thing caught on fire and the roof burned up, had one of those thatched roofs just like other places and everything. They say just thank God that nobody got hurt or anything. But then he told about how many got saved. Amen. Praise God. Folks still getting saved. Preacher's house burning down, but God's still saving souls. We'll get to meet some of them Filipinos that got saved by the grace of God in heaven one of these days. That's the reason we got to have forevermore, praise God. Amen. We sing that song, Amazing Grace. I know it says in the song book 10,000 years, but we always say forevermore. And 10,000 years is good, but it's longer than that. Amen. It's forevermore we'll be in heaven, and we'll meet some of those folks that got saved. All these different ministries. I couldn't stand up here this morning and tell you about all 20 of them. I can try. Some of them's in the jails getting saved. Some of these juvenile detention centers getting saved. And folks are getting saved all across this country and around this world. Think about the tracts that are going out from the Fellowship Tract League. The Bibles they're sending out. This is a Beams Bible right here. They print them down there in Gulfport, Mississippi. God has done a miraculous work in that ministry. They got a hold of a building that used to be an abortion clinic. And everybody said, there ain't no way you're going to get that building. Ain't no way you're going to... And it was actually a building that they used to go and protest in front of. But God gave them that thing and gave them another property and built a whole brand new building. I mean, a brand new building that cost, I forget what it was, but it was an extreme amount of money to get all that taken care of, and they're working on paying it off right now. But built this brand new, big, beautiful building in Gulfport, Mississippi before Katrina hit. And every single building around, I called him. I called Brother Ferret, and I talked to his wife a little bit. I said, well, how's things are going down there? And, you know, I know the hurricane came through, and there's a lot of devastation in Gulfport. And I was just wondering how things are going. You know, the building's tore down. I know it's a brand new building y'all just built. Said every other building around us is gone, completely leveled. Not a bit of damage on the Beams Bible building. Only God can do that. And all those Bibles in there, all the Word of God. And you know what they started doing? They had a new warehouse they built. They hadn't even got to use it. And they would put chainsaws in there and put other equipment in there, and then it'd go back out. And then they used it for a warehouse to take care of and help people all around the community there. You just go on down the line. I mean, God's a moving. God's a blessing. How can I preach? Praise God. Just stay busy right where you're at, and God's going to bless you for it. You don't have to go around the world. You just need to do what God wants you to do right here. Now, if God's calling you around the world, you better go. You'll be miserable if you don't. But you need to do what the Lord wants you to do. Last of all, let me give you this. And I ain't even put my watch up here. We're on preacher standard time. You know what that is? You just put your watch in your pocket. Preacher standard time. We started daylight savings time last week. We'll start preacher saving time today. Last of all, let me say, how can I help? Notice in verse 40, listen, old Philip wasn't done. Amen. He still continued on with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Philip was found at Astros, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Samaria. And I know I'm still getting ahead of myself, but I was talking about him preaching there in verse 39. You got that old eunuch preaching. You know he got saved if he was telling somebody else about it, don't you? The Bible says that they went up and out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He was telling about the good news of Jesus Christ. He was preaching the gospel. But last of all, let me say, how can I help? That's where the work of stewardship begins. Old Philip needed somebody, and I know in that day it was different and everything, but you know, we got folks that need some help getting to the field. We got some folks that need some help, and I know that's a biblical. Paul several times talked about taking up an offering for him to get to a certain area or whatever. And there were some churches that could take care of him. There's some that couldn't. Those that could take care of him needed to take care of him more, where he could go out to those that couldn't. And God just blessed, and God took up the slack. And it's a blessing how God's are doing that. I'll tell you what God's are doing in these days and this time. You know, I've had many missionaries tell me, he said, you know, there's a lot of big churches now that they just can't get in. A lot of big churches. And you think some of them big old churches, and oh man, look at that big church, and man, they must be doing a lot. But it says, really, most of the missionaries I talk to, it's little congregations, about 40 and 50, that they're counting on, that God's a blessing, and that God's a using more than any of the churches they go into. They'll talk to some of the bigger churches. They got their own boards. They got their own missionaries. They've already got missionaries sent out of their church, and they're not adding on no new missionaries. And God's a blessing, and God's using a little church like this in such a tremendous way to fill up that gap, just a little bit of gap here and a little bit of gap there. And God's using them all across this country and around this world to reach out. How can I help? Just be obedient to do what the Lord wants you to do. The Bible tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 7, this is another story, it just goes right along with that. The impotent man said to the Lord, now here's one saying to Philip, how can I, except some man should guide me? Well, the impotent man said to Jesus, when he talked about why ain't you going in there in the waters and getting healed, he said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool when I'm coming another step down before me. He said, I have no man. The psalmist said, no one cared for my soul. He turned on every hand he needed to touch. He needed to help. Praise be to God. God's able to take care of the need. God's able to bless. And God's able to fill in the gap, like I said. Let me give you this quote from C.H. Spurgeon. I'm done. I mentioned Brother Spurgeon a while ago. But he said, in every well-ordered congregation, there are seats emptied by holy service. Many Christians appear to think that their entire religious duty begins and ends with attending church. But no village station receives their ministry. No ragged school enjoys their presence. No street corner hears their voice. But their pew is filled with commendable consistency. We do not condemn such, yet we show them a more excellent way. C.H. Spurgeon. God used him, no doubt, in his day. And you read about the great, he was one of the founders of the great missionary society out of England. And then later on, flowed over into the United States, and they began a group of churches getting together for a purpose of supporting missions. That's the only reason a Baptist church in Baptist history ever has started getting together, is because of missions. That's how it started. There's a lot of other stuff got into associations and things like that and groups, but the way it really started was that they're going to get some money together and help missionaries reach out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knows you ought to ask the musicians to come around. I appreciate God's word this morning. Appreciate folks visiting with us and everything. But I'll tell you what, if God's